All right, Kaschit, weather, Buddha, very learned, Swasti, well, Anamivaha, faultless, Aste, does exist, Swapalka Putraha, the son of Swapalka. Akura. Bhagavad. Regarding the personality of Godhead. Prapannaha. Surrendered. Yaha. One who. Krishna. The Lord. Pada Angita. Marked with footprints. Marga. Path. Pam Sushu in the dust. Acheshtata exhibited. Prema Vipinna, lost in transcendental love. Daryaha, mental equilibrium. Translation. Please tell me whether Akura, the son of Swapalka, is doing well. He is a faultless soul surrendered under the personality of Godhead. He once lost his mental equilibrium due to the ecstasy of transcendental love and fell down on the dust of a road which was marked with the footprints of Lord Krishna. So purport by his divine grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. When Akura came to Vrindavan in search of Krishna, he saw the footprints of the Lord on the dust of Nandagram, and at once fell on them an ecstasy of transcendental love. This ecstasy is possible for a devotee who is fully absorbed in incessant thoughts of Krishna. Incessant means continual, without cessation. It means without stopping. Such a pure devotee of the Lord is naturally faultless because he is always associated with the supremely pure personality of Godhead. Constant thought of the Lord is the antiseptic method for keeping oneself free from the infectious contamination of the material qualities. The pure devotee of the Lord is always in company with the Lord by thinking of Him. Yet, in the particular context of time and place, the transcendental emotions take a different turn, and this breaks the mental equilibrium of the devotee. Lord Chaitanya displayed the typical example of transcendental ecstasy as we can understand from the life of this incarnation of God. So, Kachitpura swasjana viva haste, shopalka putro bhagavat prapannaha, ya krishna padankita marga pamshushu, acheshtata prema vibina daryaha. So, om magada tibadanda shaganan shalakaya chakshur meditam yena tasmai shi guruvena maha. So, Akura is a very, very interesting personality in Krishna's pastimes. In fact, he is known as the Acharya of one of the processes of devotional service. Which process? Rasa Vihari knows. Don't answer for them. You know, they have to answer it. You know everything. You're a Veda. Know of all the Vedas and everything like that. But let the other people answer. So, Vandana? Vandana, yeah. What does Vandana mean? Prayers. So these actually, just like each and every one of these processes of devotional Navabhakti, the nine processes, Yuna Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaran, etc., they have a particular person who is the best example or a good example of that particular process. Like you have Shravanam Maharaj, Pariksit, Kirtanam, Chukkadeva Goswami, and so on. And ultimately, Atma Nivedanam. Who's the Acharya of Atma Nivedanam? Bali Maharaj. What? Who we're going to see today? Take breakfast at his house. So Akura is well known because he offered prayers to the Lord, particularly the prayers that he's well known for is when, as it mentions here, he saw the Lord's lotus feet when he was sent to Vrindavan, actually sent to Nandagram, but Braj. Vrindavan refers to all the forests and also to a specific forest in Vrindavan. So he sent to Nandagram to bring Krishna to Mathura, And the reason he was sent was that you had this evil person, Kongsa. And Kongsa, sort of like, he had one of his ministers was Akura. So he trusted Akura very much. So Akura went to Vrindavan, and on the way to Vrindavan, he saw Krishna's footprints, and he fainted in ecstasy. And then he went to the house of Nanda Maharaj, and he explained what he wanted Krishna for. And also, he did things that were extremely cruel. In fact, his name is quite funny, because Akura means not cruel. Akura means cruel. Very cruel. First of all, one of the first cruel things he did was that he told Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj that Krishna was not their son. That was just like a horrible thing to do, right? He said, actually, Krishna is the son of Vasudev and Devaki, and they're in prison. But he was wrong. According to the Acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna was actually the son of Yashoda Mayi and Nanda Maharaj. And expansion, there was an expansion of Krishna that appeared from Devaki, the Vasudev. And so Yashoda Mayi actually gave birth to twins, a boy and a girl. You ever hear this story before? Trust me, Hari has heard everything. So Yashoda Mayi gave birth to twins, a boy and a girl, and the boy, of course, was Nandanandana, Krishna, Govinda. And the girl was Yogamaya, or Durga, which is an expansion of Yogamaya. Anyway, so Yogamaya, because Durga doesn't appear in Braj, it's Yogamaya who appears in Braj. So what happened is that when Vasudev left the prison, he was carrying the expansion of Krishna across the Jamuna River, and finally he went to Nandagram. Then the expansion of Krishna actually entered into the original form. And became one, so to speak, or didn't manifest two different aspects. And he didn't see that actually Krishna was already there. So he put the expansion down, the expansion entered into the original Krishna, and then he took Yogamaya with him, and he went back to Mathura. And when Kamsa saw that it was a girl instead of a boy, first he was thinking, well, maybe I don't have to kill him. But actually, he was thinking, yeah, it's better not take any chances. Kamsa, even when Kamsa started to become a little hesitant about killing the sons of Devaki and Vasudev, Nardamuni sort of interceded and kept telling him, you know, don't take any chances. I mean, for example, when the first son of Vasudev and Devaki was born, Kamsa was thinking, maybe I don't have to kill him, because it's the eighth son. But then Narada Muni explained that you don't know how they're counting. Just like when they have one of these spaceships that goes up, they count down, right? Yeah, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off, right? You ever seen that? So Narada Muni said they may be doing the same thing. They may be counting down, so the eighth may be the first may be the eighth, and the eighth may be the first. So don't take any chances, you should kill them. Because Narada Muni wanted to see the appearance of the Supreme Lord, he also knew why the sons of Devaki and Vasudev had to be killed. Well, that's a different story. So, Akura was actually wrong when he spoke to Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda and broke their hearts, in fact. That's the cruelest thing you can say to a mother. That cruelest thing you can say is that's not your son. That's my son or someone else's son. I mean, for example, if I said Arjuna is not your son. Yeah. So it's actually very cruel. So, of course, when you're cruel to someone, you also have anger. So they were a little disturbed with Akura. Still, and they were opposed to Krishna going. They were thinking, yeah, how is Krishna going to deal with this whole thing in Mathura? And these Kamsa and his soldiers are going to want to kill him. But Krishna assured Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. So that was one way he was cruel. And then also, perhaps the greatest cruelty was towards the gopis of Vrindavan. he was. There's some stories that the Acharyas tell that actually Krishna disappeared for some time. He was with the gopis, and he forgot, you know, he was supposed to go to Mathura. So there was a crew on the chariot with Balaram, and he had to send Balaram out to get Krishna and remind Krishna of his duty. Because Krishna was so much attached to the gopis that he forgot his duty of Vrichanaya Sadunam Vinashaya Chatushkatam. Even Krishna forgot the Bhagavad Gita. Right? And so Balaram had to remind him, hey, this is what you're supposed to be doing. This is why you come down to this earth planet, to annihilate the miscreants, establish religious principles, you know, stop being romantic for a while. So, anyway, so Akura brought them both on the chariot, and the gopis, they were laying in front of the chariot and trying to block the way. So Akura basically had to zigzag around the gopis, and Radharani was painted in front of the chariot. And so you would think that if Akura had some, let's say, conscience or empathy or sympathy, he would have said, well, how can I break the heart of all these gopis, right? And so as a result of his not having any sympathy or being very cruel, like Krura instead of Akrura, he took Krishna out of Vrindavan. That's horrible, isn't it? Just like we, when we celebrate the Rath Yatra, we do the opposite, right? We are taking Krishna back to Vrindavan and taking the position of the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan. We are dragging Krishna back to Vrindavan, but Akura is doing the opposite of Rath Yatra, right? He was doing, yes, the diametrically opposed to maniac Rath Yatra. Of course, it's also interesting with the Rath Yatra ceremony when, after 5 days after Lord Jagannath goes to the Gundicha temple, then the goddess of fortune becomes very angry and wants to drag Krishna back to Jagannath Puri, which is basically Vaikuntha, you know, Lakshmi Narayan worship. Instead, here's another mobile phone. He wants to drag Krishna. She wants it, and she sends her soldiers out. This is called the Lakshmi Vijay, where she sends her soldiers out to beat up the associates of Lord Jagannath and try to convince Lord Jagannath to come back. But still, he waits a few more days before coming back. So anyway, we are interested in bringing Krishna to Vrindavan. No. Because the gopis, even when they met Krishna later on in Kurukshetra, they would say, you're the same Krishna and I'm the same Radharani, but really we want to enjoy the relationship or give you enjoyment on the banks of the Vitasi, on the banks of the Jamuna River. Because here you're acting like a king. It's a different mood. Just like if the wife wants to associate with the husband, she doesn't go to the workplace. Right? It has to be hard. Like your wife doesn't go to to your office and say, okay, let's take prasadam. It's home. These things happen at home. So anyway, so getting back to the point, so Akura committed all these atrocities. Horrible. And therefore the gopis got very angry with him, and it's described sometimes, they cursed him. And he had to suffer because of that curse. Later on, when Krishna was in Dwarka, there was this whole pastime of the Shyamantaka Jewel. I think most of you know the Shyamantaka Jewel. The Shyamantaka Jewel originally was the jewel of the Shankha Chuda demon. Let's go back to Vrindavan for a second. When Krishna was dancing with the gopis in this place called Shamkutir, which is right in the middle of Govardhan, Shamkutir means dark forest, like that. He was dancing with the gopis. This one demon associate of Kuvera, Shankha Chuda, he came and tried to kidnap Radharani and the gopis. Of course, he wasn't able to kidnap Radharani because anyone who would touch Radharani, just like anyone who would touch Sita, would die immediately. But there was imitation Radharani who he was kidnapping or attempting to kidnap. And then Krishna came and killed him. The Shankarchuda demon had a jewel that he had stolen from Kuvera, a very beautiful jewel. And that jewel was known later as the Shaimantaka jewel. So, what happened is that Krishna killed the demon, took the jewel, gave it to Balaram. Balaram gave it to Radharani. And when Radharani, story in the Lalita Madhava, when Radharani actually was feeling so much separation from Krishna, she actually left her body by entering into the Jamuna River and went to the sun god and brought the Shaimantaka jewel, or the Shankarchuda's jewel, with her, which later became the Shaimantaka jewel. So that Shaimantaka jewel was given by the sun god to Satyajit. Satyajit was one of the residents of Dwarka. And the sun god also gave his daughter, which was Satyabhama. Satyabhama, of course, is considered to be an expansion of Radharani, or Radharani who appears in the Dwarka pastimes. That's why her name is Satyabhama. In Sanskrit, that means left-handed gopi. You understand? Bhama. That means left-handed gopi. Left-handed gopi means unsubmissive, angry, man. Radharani is known for her man. Man means like the anger. She gets angry at Krishna. And Krishna likes that. He likes to make her angry. Krishna enjoys very much. Just like sometimes the husband will like to make the wife angry, enjoys pastimes like that. I don't know about things like that, but I know Prabhupada said that. So, Krishna tried to make Rukmini angry, but he was unable to make her angry because she is expansion or appearance of Chandravali, who is the right-handed gopi, and very submissive. Chandravali generally does not speak back to Krishna. She's very submissive. Whereas Radharani, if Krishna doesn't listen or Krishna misbehaves, sometimes she locks him out of their kunj, and she instructs her gopi associates to take these sticks and hit Krishna if he comes near, right? So, anyway, so Satyabhama, is Radharani, or expansion of Radharani, dealing in the Dwarka pastimes, and Satyajit got her and the Shaimantaka jewel. So when he got the Shaimantaka jewel, it's described that wherever the Shaimantaka jewel was, there was great opulence. Everybody was healthy, nobody got sick, never rained too much, you never had cyclones. Everyone had enough food. It was very nice. And so, basically, Krishna asked for the Shaimantaka jewel. Satyajit thought, you know, who's this Krishna? I should have the jewel. And to protect himself, he locked the jewel up, and even one time he sent his brother Prasena to keep the jewel when Prasena was out hunting, and Prasena got killed by a lion. You know that story, right? Anyway, so Prasena got killed by a lion, and they didn't know that. They thought that Krishna had killed Prasena and taken the Shaimantaka jewel. And so there was this whole bad rumor about Krishna. Just like you know about reputation, but Krishna's reputation was in jeopardy. Because everyone was saying, Krishna took the Shaimantaka jewel, Krishna killed Prasena. So then Krishna had to go and try to save his reputation. So he went to the forest, and basically he saw a dead lion. And he figured that that lion was killed by someone who lived in this big cave. He went into the cave, and in the cave, he saw this little girl who was playing with the jewel. And when the little girl saw him, of course, that little girl was Jambavati. When the little girl saw him, she started crying, and her father, Jambavan, came out. And Jambavan, of course, is famous in Lord Ram's pastimes. You all know that? Sometimes in the movie, he looks like a bear. But Prabhupada said he is not a bear. He doesn't look like a bear. Prabhupada said he's the king of the bears, not, you understand? You see the Ramayana movie? He looks like a big bear with hair all over him like that. It's not what he looked like. He wouldn't have had a beautiful daughter if he looked like a bear. It's not that Jambavati was a bear. And Krishna married a bear. Krishna doesn't marry bears. Krishna married these beautiful girls, not bears. Anyway, so So therefore, Krishna fought with him for like some 28 days, and then Damavan eventually realized that it was Krishna. And he gave the jewel and his daughter to Krishna. And Krishna brought back the jewel and gave it to Satyajit. And Satyajit apologized, gave his daughter to Krishna, Satyabhama, who was Radharani. And so Krishna had two more wives, but the story goes in the Lalita Madhava by Rupa Goswami that Krishna couldn't accept him as his wives right away because he had made a deal with Rukmini when he married Rukmini, the first princess, that he wouldn't marry anyone else without her permission. So basically, for a few months, he had to sneak around and have a relationship with Satyabhama, and Jambavati he kept in a cave. But anyway, he had to sneak around and without letting his wife know. And there's so many pastimes told in the Lalita Madhava about this. You've read the Lalita Madhava? Isn't it so many pastimes about it? Where Radharani is worshipping the deity of Krishna, and then Krishna later puts himself in as the deity, and she still thinks it's the deity, and Krishna thinks that she's a deity. And eventually they get together, and eventually Rukmini accepts, understanding that Radharani, or Satyabhama, is Radharani, her old friend from Vrindavan. So there's Chandravali and Radharani get together, and they're good friends in the Dwarka pastimes, which is really interesting. So let's get back to the Kura story. That's the reason we're telling this. So then what happens is that Satyajit again has the jewel, and Krishna, he leaves Dwarka for some time because he has heard that the Pandavas were killed and being burnt in the house of Lak in Varnabata. You understand the plot that was there by Duryodhana and company? And he thought they had been killed, so he knew they hadn't been killed. I mean, Krishna's God, he knows everything. So anyways, he went there to see what was happening. He went to Hastinapur to see what was happening. And while he was gone, there was this whole plot to steal the jewel. And that plot was headed up by Akrura and Kritavarma. That's very, very interesting. And they instigated this person called Shatadanva to kill a Satyajit and steal the jewel. Pretty heavy, isn't it? So what happened is they kept telling him, you know, you're powerful. They actually praised him in many ways, Shatadanva. They praised him in many ways. You're powerful, you're strong, you can do this, you know, we're just weak people, you know. And so the Satyadana was quite an evil person. He went and he killed, just like one kills, like a butcher kills an animal. He killed Satyajit in his house while Krishna was away. And everyone was crying. Definitely everyone was crying. Satyabhama obviously was crying. And they put Satyajit in a vat of oil to preserve his body. So that later on when Krishna came back, they could do the proper funeral ceremony. So when Krishna heard this, he got very angry, came back to Dwarka, and chased after Satyadanva. However, Satyadanva understood that Krishna was coming back, and he was pretty scared. So he had given the Shamantaka jewel to Akrura. And Satyadanva, he took this horse, and he went like 1,000 miles away. But Krishna came up to him and cut his head with the Sudarshan Chakra disc. And then he didn't find the jewel. And he was wondering, where's the jewel? I don't know where the jewel is. Of course, Krishna knows everything, but it's a pastime. And then they heard that in Varanasi. In Varanasi, they were very opulent there. And also in Dwarka, they started to have some problems like diseases and stuff like that. So they understood the jewel was no longer there. So, therefore, Krishna understood that Akrura was there in Benares. Varanasi. And so he sent a message, you have to come back, don't worry, everything will be all right, right? And Akrura came back. And so one can question why Akrura is a pure devotee, and he achieved pure devotional service by his prayers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one could question why he succumb to this horrible activity of, you know, killing someone? And Kuntavarma was also a pure devotee, succumb to this horrible activity? And the answer given by Srila Jiva Goswami is that he had offended the gopis, and they cursed him, and he became involved in sinful activity. So it's also a good lesson for us. There's two lessons. Also, Kuntavarma, he had associated with Kamsa, so his mind became contaminated too. He actually became a little contaminated. So it is a lesson for us that if we offend, if we actually, there's another part of the story too that Prabhupada tells, that another reason Jiva Goswami gives, that they were actually angry and wanted to kill Satyajit, is that they wanted to marry Satyabhama. That's interesting, isn't it? So, you know, it's kind of interesting. This is Jiva Goswami's commentary. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says something different. But Jiva Goswami says the reason is they wanted to marry Satyabhama, so they actually go angry with Satyajit for getting Satyabhama married with Krishna. And so they become, the point is that even if one is a pure devotee, if one is not, first of all, careful of one's association and careful not to offend Vaishnavas, there can be some problem in one's spiritual life. That's the message Jiva Goswami gives us. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives a different message. He says that they were both angry at Satyajit because he had offended Krishna and criticized Krishna. Therefore, that's why. And so he sort of justifies Akura and Kuntavarma being part of this whole process of trying to kill Satyajit. In any case, this is one of the great pastimes told in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. What's that?
Akul is a sign of auspiciousness.
Yeah.
That's why when Akul left, inauspicious
stuff. Yeah.
That's why they figured out.
They figured out that Krishna had left, that Akura had left, and also the Shamataka Jewel left. But then that was a pastime, because wherever Krishna is, everything is auspicious. That's also explained by the Acharyas. So anyway, that's the lesson we can learn from this particular pastime. And one may be as great as Akura, but if one offends devotees, particularly the Vrajavasis, one will be in trouble. Or if one has bad association like Kritavarmana, then one will actually have spiritual trouble. So these are some of the stories about Akura, who is mentioned here in this particular verse. He's the son of Swapaluka. And he is a great pure devotee. However, we should be careful about understanding his particular lesson. So any questions or comments about these things? Keep it short. Questions, comments, arguments? It's an interesting story, isn't it? The Kura. No? There's actually, when you go to Vrindavan, there's a Kura Ghat. Well, one story I forgot to mention is that when Akura was leaving Vrindavan on his way to Mathura, they stopped Akura Ghat, and he took a bath, and Krishna and Balaram were in the chariot. And as he was taking his bath, saying his Gayatri Mantra, he actually saw Lord Vishnu and Ananta Shesh, and he understood that that was Krishna and Balaram. So it was revealed to him. The point being that when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, he manifests himself as God. You understand? Inside Vrindavan, Krishna generally does not manifest himself as God. When he kills the demons, of course he does that as his Vasudeva expansion. But Krishna, with the residents of Vrindavan, does not like to show that he is God. For example, there's one temple right near Govardhan called Chaturbhuj Temple. I mean, Chaturbhuj means the forearm. So where one time Krishna was trying to hide from the gopis, and while he was trying to hide from the gopis, he assumed the form of Narayan with four arms. And the gopis, they offered obeisances, but they weren't very interested. They just said, "Where's Krishna? My dear Narayan, oh God, please show me where Krishna is." But when Radharani came, Krishna was not able to keep the extra two arms there. They kept disappearing. Because Radharani's love is so great that she attracts and controls even Krishna. So Krishna can't even do his tricks in front of Radharani, but she's able to manipulate and control him. So anyway, so when Akura did leave Vrindavan, then Krishna, as Vishnu and Sankarshan, Balaram the Sankarshan, showed who they were in terms of their real position. Whereas in Vrindavan, they don't do that stuff generally. Once in a while, but generally, no. Generally, no. There's one temple on the edge of Vrindavan called the Shira Dakshai Vishnu Temple. Isn't it? Where there's a kund, and right near that kund, Krishna manifested himself like that. But generally, Krishna doesn't show he's God in Vrindavan. He likes to just have intimate relationships. Vrindavan, just never leaves Vrindavan. Yes. Yes. Devaki Krishna leaves Vrindavan, but Yashoda Krishna, Yashoda Nandana never leaves Vrindavan. Although he may leave our vision, we may not see him, he's still there in Vrindavan. So if you go to Vrindavan today, you're going to experience Krishna's presence. You won't see him. Like one time, Lord Chaitanya was in Vrindavan, and his servant had heard that every night Krishna was dancing in the Kaliya Lake in the Jamuna River. And people were talking about this. They were saying, every night you're seeing Krishna dancing. And so he asked Lord Chaitanya, he said, my dear Lord Chaitanya, my dear sir, can I go to see Krishna dancing tonight? And Lord Chaitanya basically slapped him. And he said, this is foolish. Krishna doesn't appear before your eyes in Kali Yuga. You know, this is simply some illusion. So later on they found out it was a fisherman. The fisherman was on the boat, and the fisherman had a lantern, because I don't know if any of you fish. It's not nice to fish, obviously. But if you're on a lake and fish at night, if you take a light out, the fish actually come to the surface. Did you know that? You used to fish? So the fisherman was on a little boat in the Jamuna River, and he was holding the light up, and everyone thought it was Krishna dancing on the heads of the Kaliya serpents. But Lord Chaitanya said Krishna doesn't appear like that in Kali Yuga. Okay? Any other questions? No, it's nice to be here with all the assembled Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis. Everyone's gone to work today, right? Anyway, this weekend we had a nice ceremony last night. Wonderful, auspicious marriage. The marriage of Brinda. And actually, it was Brinda's trick that Rasa Bihari was there, right? She said, I'm going to make sure that Gurudev comes to the marriage. Then you'll have to come also. Right? That's an interesting trick. In the Kali Yuga, the ladies are more intelligent than the men. Okay. So all glories to Sri Mangala, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.